It is Michael Penix in the second team offense right now on the field for the Atlanta Falcons. But before that, it was Kirk Cousins in the first team offense. And Kirk Cousins found back-to-back plays to Drake London, a couple of them deep down the field. They ruled it out of bounds. And I think we would have seen a red challenge flag from Raheem in game because I thought he was able to get a knee down on that. But they moved on as we continue here. Live practice from Mercedes-Benz Stadium as the Atlanta Falcons take the field for just the second time in front of their fans during this training camp. And, of course, we got you locked in. We're going to talk to you all evening long through 10 o'clock about what we're seeing here tonight. And another thing we saw here tonight was the set of the NFL Network. They're about six booths down for us. I know Tom Pelissero is still somewhere in this building. I can see the bright lights down there still shining. And a guy that was here a little bit earlier for a couple of hours was Mike Yam, my buddy, with the NFL Network. Also now doing a little bit of college football action. We might talk about that on the back end of the program. But Mike, of course, as always, joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Mike Yam, welcome to Atlanta. I know you're going to be leaving out there early tomorrow morning, but how did you enjoy your time here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium today?
It was awesome today. I feel like I literally got to Atlanta, what time is it, about 8 hours ago. We did a three-hour show, and I'm heading out in the morning to head to Buffalo. So a quick hitter for me, but, dude, it was awesome, man. And I wish I was doing this in person with you, and I apologize. We had to book out of there. Otherwise, I'd be sitting, you know, six booths away from you and having a face-to-face conversation because I miss seeing you, dude. But, you know, the reality is it was a ton of fun. I think a lot of fans that were in attendance were certainly eager to see Kirk Cousins. You spent over $100 million. Guaranteed. You want to see this dude out on the football field and healthy, and yet there's going to be eyes on the backup quarterback too with Michael Penix. And I think there's a renewed sense of optimism. And if you know this better than anyone, because you're in the city and you're covering this team and you have the pulse of this community, but Raheem Morris has got like this little it factor. We spent some time with him, and I got to imagine that he's re-energizing the city of Atlanta, and fans think the Falcons can take this division.
Well, look, Raheem is juiced up. The fan base is juiced up. You got a ton of offensive talent. I mean, you look at the draft picks of the past couple of seasons, and when you add them all up, you add the $100 million quarterback to this, and including, as you mentioned, another top 10 pick on a second quarterback in Michael Penix Jr. And I think it leads to ask you this here. What's a fair expectation for the Falcons offense this season? Because I've heard a lot of people mention, Your top 10, that's probably a good line to be in. I've also heard, though, that you talk about the number one draft picks and you talk about a quality offensive line and you talk about Kirk Cousins at center, that maybe you should be teetering towards top five. So from the national media perspective, because obviously we get so deep in it sometimes, what's a fair expectation for that offense this year?
Total offense last year, that ranking was middle of the pack. If I'm not mistaken, it was 17th in the NFL. I do think, you know, fringe top 10 should be the goal and the expectation, because you just highlight it. You have talent. Like, this is, look, man, I've been hearing about, you know, Pitts for a couple seasons now. Like, here's your opportunity. You can blame the quarterbacks. You can say, hey, we've had a revolving door of QBs and Drake London. Look, I saw every one of Drake London's games when he was at SC. And, you know, 50-50 balls were 90-10 balls, and yet he hasn't necessarily had that impact. Usage for Bijan last season, a little erratic. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but I'll use it here. The pieces are in play, and I think what's fascinating to me, and maybe it's not a national media thing, and it might not even matter from a media perspective, eh? But how about this? If you spend, what is that contract? 4 years, 180, right, on Kirk Cousins. You did that because you feel like you can win. I don't think you make an investment like that without thinking that you can be one of the best five or six teams in the NFL. And I'm not saying the Falcons are. I'm just saying that internally, Terry Fontenot and Arthur Blank must be thinking that. I don't think you make that financial investment without thinking you have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. So if that's the case, then you're probably right. Maybe top five offense is what the real expectation needs to be, because what's it going to take to get into a deep run in the postseason? And maybe we shouldn't be talking about that. We should just be saying, hey, win the division. The division is winnable, right? There were seven wins last year in the mix. Maybe they're just a quarterback away. We were having this conversation on our show for a couple hours today on NFL Network. You know, they made splashy moves. Kirk Cousins is a splashy move that they made. And yet I look at what the Bucs did after winning that division, and the Bucs you know, they spend a ton of money, but it's generally the same roster. Now, it's a good roster, and they got really good talented players there. But I think the Falcons should be sitting here going, you know what, our offense has to be better. And by the way, for them to make a run, Aiden, you know this, that offense probably needs to be closer to top five to legitimately have a chance, because I think we have some questions about the team being and their ability to get after the quarterback.
You certainly do, and I think a lot of the hopes is that the offense is so much better than it was a year ago that it actually does provide some comfort to the defense in a couple of different ways. You don't have as many three and outs in the second half. Maybe that defense can recover, and they don't get left on the field as much. Also, if your offense can build a lead, you get into obvious passing situations, you can pin your ears back and get after it. And I think you're playing into it. The defense only has to be kind of in that group that the offense was in, just kind of be average, maybe 12, 13, 14, 15. If you can rank in that realm, I get the feeling that when you tie that in with what could be a top five, top six offense, maybe all the pieces are there. Certainly, like you said, to win the South, if not do more.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And look, and we're going to know about this team very, very early. And I think that's what's a little concerning for me, right?
Tough.
Like,
it's
I look
tough.
At... It is tough. I mean, you open up with Pittsburgh, at Philadelphia, Kansas City, got a couple divisional games with the Saints, the Bucks, and I'll throw Carolina. But the point is, you know, those first 5 weeks of the season are, hey, like, you got to win some football games. And I think the pressure's on Kirk Cousins to show that he's completely healthy. I don't know where he's at. He can say one thing. We're not going to know, though, until week number one. You got Zach Robinson as their offensive coordinator, who's calling plays now for the first time. Jimmy Lake is there as their DC. I know Jimmy a little bit from his time at Washington and think the world of him. But this team's got to figure it out pretty darn quick. And I think that's part of the pressure here in the early going. Because, Abe, what are you going to be talking about on your show? If they start off the season, I don't know, 0-3, are you going to be calling for Michael Penix? If Kirk's not balling out, maybe. Like, the city might be. So I think that's why there's some pressure right now on Kirk being healthy. And the fact that we're not going to see him in these preseason games, a little concerning for me. I just think that this is just a fascinating team for a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of layers to this.
It's Mike Yam of the NFL Network here joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline tonight. He was here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and I'll get to that 0-3 comment in just a little bit because I haven't said it on the radio yet, but I do think if you don't beat Pittsburgh that 0-3 is a real possibility, and you're going to have to claw your way back from that. But I do think that's possible because I do think this team can be very good even if they drop the first three games. But I want to go back to your time here today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I know you were hosting a show during the first hour of this practice, so maybe you didn't get an opportunity to see too much. But in general, what have been your takeaways from you spending the day here, either talking to guys or what you've seen on the field that maybe you didn't have when you came into town this morning?
Yeah, you know, well, number one, and you're right, I didn't get to watch too much. My back was to most of the practice, so every time where there was a commercial break, I was turning around. We did have some monitors, so I was trying to keep an eye. It was loud, man. Like, these fans get after it, and I know it wasn't a packed stadium, but my Lord, it was hard to hear some of these interviews. Number one, Grady Jarrett being on the football field, like, cosign, awesome, like, let's roll, hoping that he's got just an amazing season. I don't think we talked nearly enough about Jesse Bates as being one of the premier safeties in the NFL. I think he is in that category. A couple other things that I was, you know, kind of keeping an eye out for. You know, obviously, I wanted to see Kirk and just mobility. I didn't get an opportunity to really see much from that perspective. I mean, everything looked pretty vanilla. I didn't see a hitch in the step or skipping, and I thought, you know, at the very least, that's positive. But, you know, he is recovering. It was the first major surgery that he's ever had, and he told our Steve Smith that the other day on NFL Network, and Steve's eyes blew up. My ears perked up when I heard that, and, you know, I think there's, like, that recovery aspect to all of it. But, you know, to your point, it wasn't like I had, like, was totally locked in, but to me, those storylines and just seeing some of those players out on the football field, that's what was sort of grabbing my attention when I was looking over.
I know I asked for this off air to our producer back in studio, but they are now working on punt team, so I am happy. But that's why we're taking this opportunity to chat with Mike Yam of the NFL Network. Mike, you're doing the camp tour here with NFL Network. I know you're heading out tomorrow morning. You were in, what, Baltimore yesterday, and
yes.
Hopefully you didn't catch anything from that interview with Lamar Jackson. I know he's still trying to work his way back to 100%. But from the camps that you have visited, has anything stuck out to you? Has anything really surprised you about the teams that you've bounced around to?
Yeah, so I had Rams and Ravens so far, and I have been glued to NFL Network the last few days, so I've been sort of keeping close tabs on a lot of the conversations and the guests that have stopped by. So a couple things. One, the sense of calm around the Rams. There's something in the air where I feel like, to a man, like, they won't say this. Like, of course they're going to say, like, oh, yeah, we feel like we're going to have a good season. There's this level of optimism around their team that's felt and not spoken. So that's number one. Could feel that. I think Cooper Kupp being healthy, like, Stafford's got, like, this, like, grin on his face as he's walking over to the set. Like, it feels
that's
different.
That new contract grin, Mike.
Well, there's that too. That's actually a really good point. We were there like 2 days after the fact, so some of that guaranteed coin, like, or paper, I should say, because it's definitely not coins. It's a whole lot of paper in front of them.
Unless he took his signing bonus happy in Bitcoin, like we saw a couple of players do a couple of years ago. Not a great
idea. I think we're all still waiting for that thing to go back over 60,000. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time. The other thing I would add on the Ravens side. Just dangerous. I thought the Ravens were the best team in the NFL last year. I know I can't make that claim because, you know, the Chiefs obviously won the Super Bowl. But I do think there's something to be said for understanding what it takes to win football games. And I think a loss at home in the AFC Championship game might have been the thing that teaches the Ravens, like, how do we win? And they addressed that in the offseason, bringing in Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Two design runs for Lamar Jackson in that championship game, not going to get it done. I can't help but think that that's not going to be the situation or the play calling from Todd Monken if they're back in that scenario against Kansas City this year. Ravens, to me, on paper, like, scare the bejesus out of me. Tough, physical. The defense gets after people, and they have Lamar, and now they have Derrick Henry. Like, I just feel great about that squad. Obviously, I saw Atlanta today. I just think the Falcons are one of the more fascinating teams in the league because of how everything pieces together, like I said before, with Kirk coming off the injury, the way the schedule is. Kind of a make or break for Pitts and London and Bijan. Like, I want to see these dudes ball out. Like, this young core from a skill position is as good as any, I think, trio that we have in the NFL. We just haven't necessarily seen the results from it. And then I'm heading to Buffalo tomorrow. So, I kind of want to see how that offense might potentially look, with James Cook, steady dose for him in the second half of the year and no more digs. So, you know, Keon Coleman, how does that second round, 33rd overall pick, how does he look up there?
And then, Mike, final question, and we're chatting with Mike Yam of the NFL Network. Of course, the NFL Network, if you were watching it earlier today, they spent a lot of time here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium covering the Falcons as part of their camp tours. I asked this question to a buddy of mine last night, and I don't want to tell you where my buddy's located because it might inform your decision, but I want to see if you have the same answer that he did because he said his coach in his backyard. But is there a new head coach, and of course we've got one here in Atlanta in Raheem Morris, is there a head coach that was hired this past cycle that you already have concerns about whether it's going to work?
Wow. God, we're already putting dudes on the hot seat before week one with new teams. One comes to mind. Sorry, I'm just going through the mental Rolodex of some of the new coaches. My visceral reaction might have been Dan Quinn, but
where my buddy was located.
Oh, really?
By the way. It was
okay.
In D.C., yeah.
So I actually am not overly concerned. Like, I think that roster is better than people think. But the team that concerns me the most, only because I don't think much of the roster right now are the Patriots and Jerod Mayo. Like, I think Mayo's going to do a really good job. But if you're expecting, like, these massive turnarounds quickly, I just don't know. And I think, you know, if you want to have the Dan Quinn conversation, like, the Commanders to me are going to knock off some good teams. Like, I just think that's, I'm a believer in Jaden Daniels. Scary Terry's as good as they come in the NFL, and I think he's got an opportunity to once again sort of elevate his game to another level. Eckler's out there. I do get concerned about the defense, but, you know, maybe Quinn can scheme things up. I think their roster's better than New England's roster. So, the Patriots in that situation might scare me a little bit.
Yeah, and the Falcons face the Commanders on the road in week 17 of this season. And if the division is close, that's going to be a must-win, and Commanders might have their stuff together at that point. So we'll see how that one plays out. Mike Yam of the NFL Network, as always, appreciate your time. Just for a quick mention, you can also catch Mike this year on the CW calling some college football action. So certainly going to be looking forward to a busy Saturday and busy Sundays and busy Mondays and just a busy football season for you, for me, for everyone, Mike. But we always appreciate you joining us here. Thanks so much, and safe travels as you continue your tours around the NFL camps.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Always good to hear your voice, bud. And sorry I couldn't say hello in person.
Hey, we're all busy, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah. Next time, we'll definitely get together. That 100%. Is Mike Yam. Mike Yam of the NFL Network joining us here. And we're about to wrap up practice, but they are still working on some special teams. We'll see if they maybe extend the practice for the fans, give us a little overtime, a little bonus period. We'll break that all down on the other side. It's Abe Gordon live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.